Well, I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. I'm not going to go all the way through. We're actually in a series, and I'm going to pull my little props out today. I'm going to turn this mirror around, and you can tell me if I'm, tell me when I get you in the eye. Have I got you in the eye yet? Let's see. You there? Yeah. Devin, thank you. I knew you'd tell me. Let's see. I'm getting a little eye. Oh, now I see it. Now I get y'all. I'm going to make you give to the offering, or I'm going to keep shining this in your eyes. No, I'm teasing. All right, is that better? Hold on. Is that good? Everybody good? Raise your hand if it's a problem for you. All right, then we're set. We're in a series about relationships. It's called Relatable. Are you relatable? Every one of us, you know, relationships are at the same time both the best part of our lives and the worst part of our lives. They bring us the most joy, and they are the hardest part of what we have to deal with. And with 7 billion people in the world, let me tell you, those relationships are not going away anytime soon. Maybe you're in one and it's a mess. And you're wondering, gosh, is the conflict ever going to be resolved? Maybe you're not in one and you wish you had one and you're just longing for that relationship. Maybe you've got a hard one at work. We've got all kinds of different relationships. Some are with spouses, some are with boyfriends or girlfriends, or just plain old friends, people you work with teachers, with coaches. We're relating to people all the time. Some of us are married, some of us are single, but I'll tell you this, no matter where you are in your relationships, no matter where you are, God is going to show you something over this this series that's going to change your life. I'm utterly convinced of it. You know, I gave you a mirror, or one of our guys, men or women, gave you a mirror. Everybody get a mirror when you came in? You got one of these little ones? Hold it up. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. I want you to have one. All right, could we get some on the front row over here? Here we go. Just kind of keep your hand up like this. Or if you see someone in a red shirt, we're in red shirts for a reason today. We'll explain that. But when you look in the mirror, you see something about yourself. I know you see your physical countenance, your physical visage, but you see beyond that, don't you? And whenever you look in the mirror and you think of yourself, you make an assessment, a judgment assessment about your value, about your worth, about how good you are, about your love ability. That dramatically impacts how you relate to people. And I'm going to tell you right now at the very beginning, the number one thing, whether you're married or single, an older person, a younger person, the number one thing that you can do to improve every relationship is this: to believe and to receive that what God says about you is true. Everything hinges on this. God has things that he believes and says that are true about you. If you believe them, it will change everything. In fact, I'm going to go one step further, and I'm going to say the degree to which you believe what God says about you is the degree to which you will be able to have meaningful relationships. It's that important. God has wonderful things to say about you. You may not know it. We're about to explore it together over the next 4 weeks. And if you will listen and your heart is open, you'll find God speaking to you. I'm not the best teacher in the world, and I don't have to be, because he's the best teacher. And we've been praying that through his word, you'll understand what he says is true about you. Here's what I want. The reason I gave you the mirror was because I want what you see in the mirror to be what God sees when he looks at you. I want what you think about yourself to line up perfectly with what God thinks about you. And you know what? I actually love it when we have kids, even if they're crying. I love it when kids worship with their parents. It's a good thing. So we just all just love that child, okay? So, well, now they're leaving. Okay, so, but you can stay because we love families to be together. It's important to us. So I want your picture to match up with what Jesus says. I want, when you look in the mirror, I want you to see what he sees when he looks at you. Otherwise, your relationships are really going to be impaired, and I'll tell you why. When we don't receive or believe what God says about us is true, we load our relationships up with impossible expectations. We put a weight on the other person, whatever relationship that is, maybe all of them, we put a weight on them that they cannot possibly carry. You see, inside of you, there's this tank, okay, this container. I call it a love tank. And it needs to be filled up with love. And if it's not filled up with what God says about you, then you're going to be looking for other people to fill that tank up. And you know what? No one can do it like God can do it. In fact, God has reserved for himself the most important part of the love that you need to experience. And so if you don't receive it, if you don't believe it, then you go into your relationships with an empty love tank and you're expecting people to do what only God can do. That is one of the chief reasons why our relationships are so challenging, because we're going in with a love tank that's not filled up. Some of you guys are single, and maybe you're just waiting for Mr. or Mrs. Right to swoop in and swoop you off the feet, off your feet. You know you have some issues, maybe some things you need to work on, maybe some addictions or strongholds or some fears or insecurities, and you're thinking that if I could just get married, then all that would just be, it will level out. It'll all go away when Mr. Right comes into my life. Well, girls, let me tell you, if that's who you're looking for, it's a little much to expect of a guy who's likely to swoop in a Corolla with one hubcap missing, okay? It's just maybe a little much to put on Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. In fact, when we get married, how many of you have been married over 20 years? Raise your hand, all right? Praise the Lord, I'm glad you're here. It doesn't take very much of marriage to realize that when you get married, the unresolved issues in your life, the weaknesses, the frailties, the fears, those things, the other person doesn't take those things away. The other person pushes all those buttons. Sometimes the other person, not intentionally, but they actually reveal your relationship with someone that closely actually reveals the places where your love tank is empty. So if you don't receive what God has for you, then you put this weight upon those other relationships. Here's another thing that happens. If we don't believe and receive what God has for us, we go into all of our relationships ill-equipped, under-equipped. You see, it is from that love tank that we derive love with which to care for other people. And so if you're going in and your love tank is diminished, then you don't have the love that that person needs. And so you kind of got the double whammy. You're expecting more from them, which they can't deliver, and you're not equipped to love them the way that God actually does want you to love them. So you get hit on both sides. You know why we don't receive what God has for us? You know why we don't believe what he says about us is true? I think there's three reasons. One is that we may not actually know that he's thinking good and loving thoughts toward us. We might not actually know that what he feels about us and what he says is true is good. It's kind of like this. We know that law enforcement officers, they're on our side, right? But when you're driving down the road and you see a police car coming the other direction, what do you do immediately? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm on the speed limit. Oh, my seatbelt's not on. Oh my gosh, I got my cell phone in my hands. We do that because when we see a police car coming, we are concerned that they're gonna catch us doing something wrong. And sometimes we project that upon God as if his whole attitude toward us is one of looking to catch us doing wrong things. If that's the case, then we're not thinking that he's got good things for us. We're thinking he's trying to catch us doing bad things. That's a totally wrong perspective. Another reason we don't receive or believe what God says about us is true is that we think that what we have is better than what God has for us. So we load our arms and our lives up with all sorts of other things because we think we're better at putting the pieces of our life together than he is. As if it's a big puzzle and we're gonna some of this and some of that and we construct our own life and we think we're better at it than God is at it. And you've heard of C.S. Lewis, the British author who said this. He's with Jesus now, but he said this about our tendency to think that what we have is better than God's. He says, we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I promise you, God has more for you He says in Ephesians chapter 3, more for you than you can ask or imagine. He really does. A third reason that we don't believe or receive the good things God says about us or that they're true is that we don't think we're worthy. Oh, God's good enough. We think he's a good enough God, you know, whatever. He's a nice person. But we're the ones who are lacking. We're the ones who are disqualified from the good things he might have for us because of the things that have been done to us or the things that we've done. And so he's not the problem. We're the problem. We just don't see ourselves as worthy. And so we can't believe or receive that what he says about us is true. So when we look in the mirror, what we see when we look at ourselves is different than what God says he sees when he looks at us. And all of our relationships are impacted by this. We need to go into those relationships knowing exactly who our God, our Creator, says we are. And that takes us to Ephesians chapter 1. Look in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm just going to write on this mirror. I never get to mess around with lipstick. I promise you I don't. And I'm going to write this on here. When you look in the mirror, what God says, what he sees, and what he wants you to see when you look in the mirror is, I am blessed. That's what he wants you to see, because that's what he sees when he looks at you. Now, let me tell you what makes that hard to believe. Part of what makes that hard to believe, I'm blessed, is because of the way that we use the word blessing. I mean, think about it. We put it in rhinestones on our t-shirts, in our blessed, you know, in scripty rhinestones. We say a blessing before a meal. I have a friend of mine who whenever I ask him, how's he doing? He's like, I'm like, hey man, how you doing? He's like, hey, I'm blessed, bro, I'm blessed. And what he really means is, I'm not doing so great, but I really don't want to talk with you about it. That's what he's telling me when he tells, I'm seriously. When someone sneezes, we say, bless you, God bless you. I mean, even in the subway in Greece, with nothing but Greece people and Syrian people around us who do not speak English, somebody sneezed and one of our team says, bless you. They didn't even speak English. And we use that word bless for so many different things that when God says, I have blessed you, we're like, that's nice, thanks. I guess, you know, and then what makes it even worse in our minds is that it's a spiritual blessing. We go, oh, it's a spiritual blessing. Okay, what I really needed was $1,200 for my transmission, but thanks for the spiritual blessing. What I really needed was for you, you know, for this person to quit acting crazy in my life. What I really needed was for you to bring me a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or fix this mess that my existing relationship is in. Well, but thanks for the spiritual blessing. I'll keep it in mind if I have some spiritual stuff going on. But you see, we don't understand spiritual blessing. When God says spiritual blessing, spiritual blessings are the highest of blessing. They're blessings of the highest order. When God delivers a spiritual blessing, it has undeniable, incontrovertible impact. We are still experiencing the ramifications of the spiritual blessing given to Abraham almost 4,000 years ago. We've not yet even seen the complete fulfillment of his spiritual blessing to Abraham. Oh, God does not just throw these things out like there's something that we're going to frame and put on our guest bathroom wall. When he talks about blessing, he means the best, the biggest. Spiritual blessings are blessings that originate in the spiritual realm, but they manifest in the physical realm. They begin at the highest place, but they have an impact in the deepest place. You want to know what some spiritual blessings are? I'm going to give you 9 on the screen. These are spiritual blessings. By all means, take out your phone, snap a picture of that, because this is what matters. Peace is one of the spiritual blessings. Joy and hope, it's one of the spiritual blessings that he says are yours. Accessibility, top right. Accessibility to God. You can now approach God and his throne of grace with confidence. You don't have to worry about what he's thinking about you. He says, no, I want you to come to me. All these are spiritual blessings. And here's the deal. Spiritual blessings, as the deepest, well, I'll say this, physical blessings are only indirect means of arriving at spiritual blessings. Does that make sense? What we go after in the physical realm ultimately is a way that we pick and choose to arrive at these things. You know why guys like fast boats and fast cars? I mean, maybe you girls do too. What? Somebody say something? Because they're awesome. Thank you. It was a rhetorical question. I'm preaching, Eric. No, I'm teasing. You can shout out. Because they're awesome. That's right. We go jetting. We pull the throttle back and we just go jetting across the water and the wind's in our hair and we feel freedom and we feel power and we feel joy and hope and we feel like all that other stuff is left behind and we're at peace. We get that boat because ultimately that physical blessing, nothing wrong with having a boat, that physical blessing is helping us get towards something that's really existing in the spiritual realm. And Jesus says, why don't you come to me? Why don't you let me just give it to you directly instead of going the indirect path? Because you see, that boat, you're gonna have to turn that boat around and come back and pay for it one of these days, you know? That boat is going to spend more time in the, you know, dry dock getting fixed than maybe it is going to be spent out on the water. Every blessing, this is what C.S. Lewis meant when he says, we are half-hearted creatures and we go after things like sex and ambition and money and whatever else, because ultimately we go after these physical things to get these things that are inherently spiritual. And God, like a loving father, says, hey, I don't want you to have to hunt around. I don't want you to have to try this and find it lacking or think this person's going to meet all your needs or this thing will. Why don't you just come directly to me? Because I have blessed you, not with just these nine, but with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, you might think, well, that's nice, Kirk. But still, the spiritual blessing thing seems sort of aloof. It seems sort of out there, ambiguous, kind of vague in the abstract. How do I appropriate spiritual blessing into my life such that it actually makes a material difference in my relationships? Well, the key word, go to the next screen, the key word, key phrase is this, in Christ. Paul says this 9 times in the next 6 verses. It is the key. It's the secret to everything God has for you in Christ. The way that we get to experience and appropriate these spiritual blessings is by getting to know the man who is God, by getting acquainted with Jesus. I mean, I'm talking about him like he's a real person. Of course I am, because he is a real person forever. You see, oh man, there's so many good things here. It's hard to know where to start. And even though with Jesus, to relate to him, to get to know him, we have to build up and develop our physical senses, right? But the same basic rules that govern physical relationships are precisely the same ones that describe and govern our relationship with Jesus. If we want to get to know him, we have to spend time with him. And guess what? We get to. He wants us to spend time with him. This is God. If we want to know him, we've got to listen to him, and he will speak to us. We've got to follow him. He's promised to lead us. We've got to be faithful to him, and he said, I will always be faithful to you. We must love what he loves and hate what he hates. And he says he will build within us the highest virtues. We must learn his ways, and he will teach us, and he will never leave us. By ourselves, we are impoverished. We have no blessing in Christ, in relationship with him. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. You must get to know Jesus. It is not enough to acknowledge that there is a God. Even one God. It is not enough to give mental assent to something, you know, oh yeah, the Christian faith thing. No, you are being invited into a relationship. And this is a great place to figure that relationship out. That's what we're doing together, is figuring that thing out. You're not behind. You're not ahead. You're in the perfect place. If your heart is going, yeah, you know, I'd like to get to, if I could actually experience him for real, and get away from all this church religion ritual stuff, but know a real relationship, even though it's spiritual and different, man, I'd like that. If that's your heart, you're in a great place, because that's what he desires as well. You have been blessed, but there's another thing that God says about you is true, and it's in Ephesians 1:4. He says this, "For he chose you, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." When he looks at you, when you look in the mirror, what he wants you to see, he wants you to go, I am chosen. This lipstick is done. That's what he says. It's great to be chosen. I mean, have you ever been chosen for anything? Think about the last time you were chosen for something. You know what immediately comes to my mind? Is Friday afternoon, fifth grade, Mountain View Elementary School in Waco, Texas, where I grew up. Every Friday was kickball day at PE. And Mrs. Thomas, our PE teacher, would always do the same thing every single week. On Friday, she would say, okay, she'd pick two coaches, and she'd say, okay, team captains. Okay, captain's over there, Roy's over there. You know what a Roy is? Rest of y'all. Why say all the words when you can just call everybody a Roy? So it's not very affirming, is it? Captain's over there, Roy's over there. Then she'd go out back smoking or something, I guess. I don't know what she'd do. She's a wonderful person, I'm sure. So when you're a Roy, being a Roy is not a really good feeling thing. So here I am, a Roy, and the captains are choosing out of the Roys. And they're like, okay, Joey, I want you. Joey was always picked first, but that's another sermon. Joey would be picked. Then Troy would be picked. Then Sharon would be picked. I'm thinking of actually my fifth grade class. The moment they said Kirk, I'd be like, oh, sweet, I'm no longer a Roy. I'm now on a team. I belong. I've been chosen. Last Sunday, Miss America was on. I'm not a real big fan of watching Miss America, but there was a Reagan High School graduate that was like Miss Texas. She's like the last three people on the stage. So she and these two other people, one of them is going to be Miss America. And I'm thinking, I forget her name, Carruthers is her last name? Okay, clearly nobody else cares either. But okay, so, or you're just like, hey, it's your job to know what you're talking about, not our job. That's okay. So I'm thinking she's been Miss Reagan High School. She's been Miss San Antonio, Miss, I don't know, Bexar County, if that's something. She's been Miss Texas, and now she's on the stage, and she's one of three finalists, I guess. I didn't understand how all it worked, but they were going to pick it out of three people. And they're on the stage, and the announcer is dragging it out. And the winner is, you know, it's like that. And you're like going, duh, if we were there, we would strangle you. Finally, he's like, and the new Miss America is, and in that moment as they were waiting and all eyes were glued, I thought, I know exactly what they're facing. Because I remember kickball. I mean, it's a little different, but I know what it's like to be a Roy. You know, and they didn't say this on TV, but there's Miss America and there were two Roys. That's how it is. But it's so good. It's so good to be chosen. So good. And God says this about you. Before the creation of the world, before anybody knew anything, because there was nobody but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwelling together in this mysterious unity, three and yet one. In that place, God, all three, one, God chose us, knowing that Adam and Eve were going to mess it up. Knowing that all of us were individually going to replicate exactly what Adam and Eve did. We were going to reject God's authority in our life, and we were going to go our own way, breaking lots of God's laws in the process. And yet, knowing that, knowing what you were going to do, that thing you did yesterday, knowing what you're going to do tomorrow, he says, I chose you. I chose you. You know who Jesus is? Jesus is God choosing you. Jesus is God expressing that pre-creation decision to choose us. It's Jesus coming like the team captain of the best kickball game there is and saying, hey, call in your name. and you saying, yeah, I want to be on team holy and blameless. He said, you want to be on my team? You can all be on my team. And we say, yes. And when we say yes, we receive that choosing of the Lord. And he makes us holy and blameless. How? How do we become holy and blameless? In him. We got no holy and blamelessness, holiness and blamelessness in and of ourselves. But when we come into team holy and team blameless with Jesus, he puts his jersey over us. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it speaks of a white robe. I'm going to call it a jersey. He puts that jersey over us. It's his, but he's chosen us. We're on his team. And now, in God's eyes, he says, I count you holy, and I count you blameless. You know how that impacts your relationships? I'll give you a hypothetical. Let's say that you're the pastor of a church, maybe a church that meets in a gym, and you're on your way, let's say Monday night, to an elder meeting with the elders of the church, like you do every month, and on the way over to that meeting, your wife calls you, and you're focused on this meeting, and she starts talking about something totally different, and I don't mean that, it's hypothetical, right? So I'm not saying that's representative of anybody's wife, but she's saying something, and you're focused on what you've got to be focused on or what you think's more important, and she keeps going, and finally, you lose your patience, and you're rude to her, and then that conversation ends, and you walk into the elder meeting, but then at the end of the elder meeting, you stop about 5 minutes early, and the guys are chit-chatting, hypothetically, right, and you say, hey, guys, I need to go ahead and head on home because I was rude to Debbie. I'm sorry, this is hypothetical. I was rude to my wife. And I need to apologize to her. When you know that you're chosen, when you know that you're holy and blameless, I mean, and you're like, I can't believe I'm holy and blameless. As much of an inconsistent, prone guy as I am, prone to messing up, the holiness in Jesus, holiness and blamelessness of Jesus are so significant that it covers even over all my darkness, all my bad stuff. When you know that you're chosen and you're holy and blameless, it's a whole lot easier to go home to your wife and admit that you were wrong and that you were rude to her and to ask for her to forgive you. Not because you're anything like, you're just, honey, I'm so lofty in my spirituality, I can do this. No, it's because you're so amazed that God sees you as holy and blameless. It is so much easier to be humble and ask for forgiveness. And admit that you're wrong. Do you see how I'm talking about how this impacts your relationships? If you don't know you're chosen, though, if your love tank is not very full up, then you can't go home. And I've been in this place. You can't go in there and apologize to your wife. That's one more thing you've done wrong. And what if she's counting up? And then you got to go to bed thinking about how wretched you are and how much of a bad husband you are. Oh, but not if you're chosen. Not if you're in Christ. When you believe and receive, what God says about you is true, stuff starts changing. Stuff starts happening. See, that's way better than just coming sitting in church, isn't it? Hearing some guy talk. That's way better than just, well, culturally I'm a Christian, so I'm talking about something that literally changes our life and every relationship in our life. That's what Jesus has for us. That's what he has for you. And we get it in him. We've got to know the man. Because everything God has for us is in the man Jesus. In the man who is God. You know what? I got more to say. But let's just stop for right now and let's do this. Let's close your eyes and do a bit of reflection. Because I know as soon as we're done, you're going to head out just like I am, and the next part of your day is going to hit fast and furiously. Let me give you some questions to think about. Do you know the man? The man who is God. Do you know Jesus? Some of you know him, but you have been so far away from him that you wonder if you can come back. Don't you think that if God knew from before the creation that he was going to choose us, that he was going to have to make us share his holiness and his blamelessness with us, don't you think his answer is yes? It doesn't say that he unchooses us. Would you tell him, I'm coming back? Do you remember that parable of the son who took his father's inheritance, asked for it while the father was still living, and he runs off with it, and he squanders it, and he wastes it, and he shames his family and wastes his father's hard work? And then in great remorse and despair, he decides, oh, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say this, this, and this to my father, and I'm going to ask if he'll let me be a hired hand, and blah, blah, blah. And when he comes back, his father runs to him, and the son tries to explain all that he's prepared to explain, how deeply remorseful he feels, and the father won't even hear it. You see, in the son's return, the father sees everything he needs to see about the son's heart. For the son to return, he just in his returning, he's already expressed his remorse, his shame. The father doesn't need to hear it. That Jesus himself tells that parable so that you know when you turn around, the father is right there saying, yeah, come on back. If that's you, would you tell him in your heart, I'm coming back? Imagine in your mind what it might have looked like for that son to see his father running up the lane with arms outstretched, saying, my son, my son. Imagine what it might look like. Just use your imagination for God to run as you return to him. Now let me ask you, maybe you're a person who's never been in relationship with God. All this stuff I'm talking about, there's nothing, it's all new. It's all new. Oh, you're in a great place. Because if something is stirring inside your heart, if something's moving inside of you, if this sounds like life, if it smells like the aroma of real life to you, then I can promise you, this is God letting you know, making it real that he's chosen you. You don't have to be a Roy. Would you come over and be with Jesus? If you want to do that, then tell God in your heart this. You can talk to him just like I'm talking with you, just like we talk with normal people. God, I want to come and I want to say yes. I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to Jesus as my team captain. I'm coming over. I'm tired of being a Roy. You can say that. Lord, I have gone my own way. I've been the captain of my own team. And I'm saying today that I accept Jesus as my captain. I'm not going to live that life anymore that I was. I'm turning back to you. Even before you made that decision, God told you his answer would be yes in Ephesians here. He's inviting you into a relationship where his love and his authority leads your life. It's a big decision. You're not calling the shots anymore. We don't call the shots. God calls the shots. But we follow his love and we follow his authority. If you're ready to do that, then tell him, today I receive that. I make that commitment to you. To everyone who prayed that, I'm going to pray something over you now. Lord God, you made a promise that all who call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. To those who believe in you and receive you, Lord, you make them your child. So Lord, those who prayed, those who said that to you today, they've become your child. And so we pray the power of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray the filling and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, Lord, that they would now have power through the person of God in their life to be different, to live differently, to know joy, to know peace. Lord, would you even now confirm what you're doing by the spirit of peace in them, the spirit of joy. Lord, I know their situations may be difficult, but Lord, would you speak words of peace and joy and hope in the name of Jesus? Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Amen. You know, today, if you made some kind of decision, some sort of a spiritual decision, or maybe you'd like more information about something that we're talking about, in the seat pocket that's directly in front of you is a small strip of paper. It's a response form. You can write your contact information on it. In fact, if you prayed, if you told God that today you want to follow His loving authority and be on His team, I want you to let me know that. Because either I or one of our other pastors, we want to give you a call because you've entered into a relationship and we want to help you flourish in that and experience all that God has for you. If you fill out that response form, you can put it in the offering basket in a little bit. It can be your offering. You can put it in the wooden box on your way out today in between the doors. Next week, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And in the way between now and then, I gave you, and I'm going to hop down and then hop back up. Do you have a bulletin? Somebody got a bulletin? Nobody's got a bulletin. Nope, I'm looking for one that folds. Okay, there we go. Thank you. We gave you one of these. On this side are six scriptures, one for every day. These are the scriptures I'm personally going to be studying this week to prepare for my message that I'm going to teach next week. Why don't you study it with me? You study it. I'll study it. If you don't know how to study it, there's a link here that takes you to a document that describes how to have a living conversation with God. Not just a static Bible study where you study history and stuff like that, which is all good, but actually where you actually experience God Himself. That's what we want. That's what we want. So why don't you do that? And then next week we'll meet back up. And in the meantime, ask God, is there any relationship I have, any person, in any category of your life that might be blessed by this? Why don't you share the love, bring them next week, and let them hear what God says about them.